The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed on today's radio show and their guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints of Easy Way Broadcasting.
Welcome to Radio Boomers Live, the show about all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. All things hot and all things not. News, reviews, interviews, chat, tech, and what's next. And here are your hosts, Retha Gray from Betty White's Off Their Rockers and Easy's dad, Jim Zulli.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Memorial Day honoring our fallen veterans. Retha, are you up and at 'em? Okay, is Retha with us? So, guys, this is our special day for the fallen veterans, and we're looking back. Basically, I'll go into this a little later, but the day was founded in 1919. It was officially proclaimed May 5th, 1868. But it's a day when a lot of people get together, and they'll go to the different veteran cemeteries. One of the events that's going on, there's a big golf event in Texas, 220 participants, and they get together, and they're each given a flag, and there's a ribbon with the name of the fallen veterans on it, and they place them in the different locations there. So I was in the military back in, it was 1970, and I wanted to go in. I was, I think, one of the few in my neighborhood. You can get out of the military if you have a, back in those days, if you had a high draft number. And my number, if it went up to 115, you were up to 115, you could be drafted. After 115, you probably wouldn't be. Mine was 350. And if you went to college, you get a college deferment, which everybody I knew in our neighborhood went to college and they got a college deferment. I was going full-time to college, but I just wanted to go in. I just wanted to go in. My brothers were in, and my father. My father served in with MacArthur in the Pacific Theater, and that was back, I remember talking to him and telling me some of the inside stories. But anyway, I want to move on. We have to move on with the show, and we have our hot topic time.
Ripped from the headlines, today's hot topic.
So, guys, it's going to be news updates here. I don't know if any of you follow this. I don't follow the races too much, but it's very interesting. I like some of the high point stuff. You know, like, I'm not a big basketball fan, but, you know, the big game comes up, and I like to watch it. I remember when Michael Jordan did his final shot, and that was like something out of a movie, when he runs down and steals the ball and goes back and does his, blocked by two people, he does his jump, and it was just totally movie scenario. At the end, he wins the game. So, speaking of the high points, the Indy 500, okay? They had I don't know if you watched that, they had a major, major two-car crash. I mean, one of the cars literally disintegrated. It was bumped, hit the wall, and it just exploded. And they really must be on top of the safety of their drivers, because both drivers came out unhurt, you know, and they just walked away. And the one guy didn't have much to walk away from. It was just his cockpit. And so the first, we're moving into, as far as that race went, it's kind of interesting. Takuma Sato was the first Asian to ever win the Indy 500. And Austin Dillon won the NASCAR Coca-Cola 600. How about that? If you check out some of these races, I mean, even if you're not a race car buff, some of these final races, because you got the best of the best of the best battling each other. And some of these drivers are new, they're younger, and they just, you know, they're trying to prove themselves, and they do. Raiders sell out season tickets despite impending move to Vegas, because they figured if they moved to Vegas, it might ticket sales, but it didn't. And Mike Vicks to talk about the, he's supposed to retire from the Falcons. A lot of people thought he'd go on a little bit further. And we got JT Riddle leads the way with as the Marlins. Well, yep, they got it from the Angels. Now, I don't know if some of you guys follow some of this stuff. And like I say, I don't, but some of these things are really interesting. Some of these games that you see, like, you know, you may not be a soccer fan. You may not be a race car fan. But when you see some of these finals, you got guys that have been doing this, guys and gals been doing these competitions for the whole season. And you finally get them together, no matter what it is. I even went to one time that never seen it in my life. And it's amazing how they convert the field into whatever they're going to do, mud racing or, you know, off-road. And then all of a sudden you go back there and they're playing ball at it. But when you see, you know, when it comes to the end and you see these guys race, it's pretty interesting. President Trump declares war on the fake news cast. And the proclamation today, prayer for the fallen vets, and his tweets, basically what's going on is these leaks, okay, the leaks out of the White House. It's basically out. I don't know what to say. This is crazy stuff. What's going on here? It's very dangerous to national security. Somebody's leaking out information, and they say that it's a big thing to national security. But when you got a group of people you're dealing with, somebody really must have an inside with some of this, some of the media. But, well, I guess they'll find out, because they say it's treason. One of the people in office said it's actually treason. John Kelly and Kushner, you know, they're talking about lying to Russia. The Batcave line to Russia. What's going on? Kushner, he's talking to him. Well, no big deal, he says. It's national protocol to keep communications going in the back line. So, anyway, North Korea shoots off another missile, 6 minutes up in the air, landed over by the Sea of Japan, and Trump's sending more carriers over there. Big carrier group, one of our largest carriers on the way. So, you know, we'll see what, yeah, this is, there's a lot of stuff going on, but we got, there's a lot. I could go on and on with all this stuff. And, you know, you remember the, in England, they had the terrorist attack. 14 people are under investigation. 22 had died and 100 were injured. How did they find them? Covered with cameras. There's cameras everywhere you go. And it's paying off on these investigations. In the back alleys, behind stores, where the docks are, no matter where you go, there's cameras. There are thousands of cameras, and they can track these people down. And then they just go backwards, and now they're even going to where he's from, and when he was films of him taking out the trash, and they find out, they put all this stuff together. So that's some of the news, guys, and I think it's commercial time. We'll go to commercial.
Welcome to EasyWayBroadcasting.com, your one-stop shop getaway to corporate Hollywood. EasyWay specializes in red carpets and will enhance your experience. EasyWayBroadcasting.com is top-ranked on Alexa and houses the EasyWay TV Film On channel, podcast radio station, and EasyWay magazine. Learn more about the beautiful EasyWay Angels and follow their events calendar. For more information, visit EasyWayBroadcasting.com and click on About Us or call 424-209-9290. Don't forget to subscribe to the website and follow Easy Way on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for amazing updates and opportunities. Remember, that's letter E and letter Z, because, well, we do it the easy way. Easy Way Magazine is your best vehicle to advertise in if you would like to reach a quality database in corporate Hollywood. Not only will you read the stories and enjoy the content, you will also get to interact through social media and get to meet who's featured at the events, as well as get exclusive interviews from your favorite celebrities. Easy Way Magazine is a Los Angeles and Orange County-based magazine, but also reaches an international audience. Subscribe to Easy Way Magazine today by following Easy Way Broadcasting on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or EasyWayBroadcasting.com's website. To advertise, call 424-209-9290 or email contact at EasyWayBroadcasting.com. That's letter E and letter Z, because we don't do it the hard way. We do it the easy way.
That's right. We do it the easy way. Why do we do it the easy way? Well, let me tell you something. I'm behind the scenes. I am behind the scenes. I see what it's like to put together the easy way, and believe me, I have to take a deep breath sometimes. Eric has bloodshot eyes. He works long hours. He does mega research, and he puts this together. And then he finds the cutting edge, and he makes it even more cutting edge. And then he ties into more cutting edge. I mean, it just goes on and on. And what he puts together, you know, then you have the Easy Way Tube. Oh, yeah, the Easy Way Tube's growing. And all his channels, his affiliates, and so on and so forth. But anyway, moving on, we have a very special guest today, and I'm just going to touch base a little bit. Dr. Emily Letran, she's an international speaker. Now, I'm not just talking about national or just in the state of California. She's an international speaker. In fact, one of the events I was at the Women's Conference, I caught her when she was leaving, and she had to move along because she was catching a flight overseas. She's a high-performance coach, author, dentist, philanthropist, and mother of three beautiful children. She helps business owners and entrepreneurs streamline their business and increase profits. Well, this is the kind of lady we need because the baby boomers want to get in the business. Emily, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Oh, there we go. Dr. Emily Letran. Emily, and, you know, Emily, there's not going to be any time. I'm going to give you extra time today because it takes a half hour just to talk about who you are and your accomplishments. And your video is amazing. You're an amazing person. And it's not like you came over here with a golden spoon, with a silver spoon, and a lot of money in the bank. You started out, you know, from scratch. You started out the hard way, coming over from Vietnam and building what you have. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Emily, and what's on the table. What's going on?
Well, thank you so much, Jim. Thank you for inviting me on your show today. I really appreciate what you and Eric have been doing the easy way, with whether it's radio or TV or magazine. And so I'm just really, really honored to be on today. And, you know, my story is I was actually born in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. This was back in 1968. And when I grew up, what I saw on TV were just horrific images of war. You know, there were bombings, there were people fleeing villages, there were dead bodies, and a lot of propaganda every day. And so I grew up in that environment, and in 1975, the Vietnam War ended, the Americans left, the communists took over. We had these long days of basically standing in line. There's a shortage of food. You could only buy what the government wanted to sell to you. You couldn't listen to certain music, or you couldn't even read your books. I couldn't even read my comics. I used to like to read Tintin and the Smurfs. Those are all censored. They were considered anti-communist. And in 1976, 1 year after the communists took over, my mom passed away due to cancer. And I live in a big extended family with my dad and my aunts. And so she passed away. That left my dad with four kids. And a couple years after that, Vietnam was going to go to war. This is in 1981. So Vietnam was going to go to war with China in the north and Cambodia in the west.
Yeah, I remember the history.
Yes.
Yeah,
right. And they were drafting all the young men, so there were a lot of people fleeing the country because they did not want to be part of that war. Because as far as the Vietnamese were concerned, you know, going to Cambodia, that was basically an invasion, a communist invasion. And and then fighting the border with China, we've been doing that for, I believe, 4,000 years. So my aunt decided to leave the country. She was going to take her two kids, and then my older brother and two other cousins. Those are all guys. They were 15, 16, 17. They're going to be drafted as soon as they get to 18 years old.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They were leaving, and my dad told me to go with her because he told me, you're the oldest girl in the family, so you got to go and help your aunt. And so I left. I left at the age of 13, and I never saw my dad again because he passed away after that when there was still embargo between the United States and Vietnam. So
easy times for you at all.
They were not easy times. They were trying times. But, you know, sometimes when you're in that situation and you don't have a choice, you just have to do the best you can. So we were on a boat for 7 days. Crossing.
I saw pictures. You showed me some of the pictures. Now, that had to be an experience
in itself. We were crossing the ocean, and we got to a Malaysian refugee camp. We were there for several months. Then when I came to the United States, really, my goal was just to survive. My luggage were just hope and faith. And
Emily, let me stop you there for a second here. Okay. Now, we're not talking about a cruise liner. We're not talking about your own room in a swimming pool on a big boat, are we?
No, we're talking about a fishing boat, which is about 50 feet
boat.
In length. Yes,
oh
like a, like a wooden fishing boat.
It's 50 about, feet. How many people? How many 50, people are
were,
you looking at? On?
There were 60 people. We were crammed together like sardines.
60 people
and
on a 50-foot boat. Holy smokes!
Yes, and it wasn't even fully covered. I was for most of the days. My aunt and us, we were on the bow of the boat in the front because. We couldn't stay on the inside. It was too cramped.
So you're exposed to the elements. You got the sun. Oh man. Yeah.
Oh yeah. We were in the sun for the whole day. There was nothing. We didn't have anything to cover us. There was
so
no
a
place to
pleasure
go.
Cruise it wasn't.
And you know, I think I was very lucky because I was young enough not to know and not to be scared. And I think that was a big plus. Even though we were shot by the Vietnamese Coast Guard when we were escaping, they shot us and they stopped the boat. Then they came up there and they robbed us. I was scared at that time, but once they just kind of let us go, I wasn't scared. I wasn't at the age where you know you're scared of the unknown, that you don't know what the future holds. I'm sure my aunt was. All about that, but for us, we were more okay. So we're leaving, and you know, we're going to be reunited with the family at some point. That was what they were telling us, right? That's what my aunt was telling us. That's what my dad told me when I left. So I kind of that's what I held in my heart was, oh, you know, I just have to leave for a while, and then I'm going to see my dad and my family. Once we got to the refugee camp, that's when the reality hit me a little bit because, you know, you look out to the ocean and you don't see anything.
Yeah.
And you know across the ocean is your family and your country. That's when I kind of realized the loss, but I'm already there. I'm already in the refugee camp. There's no going back.
So that's quite a decision, you know, that you have to make because you're leaving your family. And now over the years, how often have you been able to go back there and visit and find your friends and so on?
I think the embargo was lifted. I think it was 1996.
96.
I think it was sometime around there, maybe a little bit earlier, but it wasn't soon enough where when my dad passed away, I couldn't even go back. My dad passed away in 1989. And I know the embargo was still in place. I believe Clinton was the one that lifted that embargo.
Right.
Yeah, and so I did not start going back until in the late 1990s, and I'm able to go back every 3 or 4 years. It's really to visit the extended family. It's very difficult to live there because, you know, with the communists, you just never know what's going to happen. I don't see myself being able to live there because of that. But I come back and I would visit extended family. I would visit old friends, do some charity work. That's usually my reason for going back.
Yeah, well, you're into so many fields and you give so much, and you know, you're such an example for somebody with resilience and the and what you've accomplished. Now, you're I saw you speak at several events, and you're what was it that just real quick, you got into the dental field and you actually finished. Now, how fluent was your English as far as the reading and the writing and so on and so forth to come over here and go to dental school? That had to have been a little difficult, right?
It was a journey. You know, when I got to the refugee camp, my dad had sent us to take some kind of private lessons in conversational English. I mean, I couldn't really talk to people in English per se. If you give me the workbook, I can kind of read it. And then in middle school, because I left after seventh grade, in middle school they taught it as a foreign language. So I basically remember yes and no, and basic words. And then when I came here, it was every night I would have to use a dictionary to translate English to Vietnamese because I didn't really understand what was being taught to me. I mean, you talk about going to the classroom for the whole day and you don't really know what they're talking about. I couldn't. And it took, I remember the advice we got back then was, you guys got to go home and watch the news. This is from, you know, the Vietnamese who have come over before us. So you got to go home and watch the news because the news anchor pronounced English very well. You know, like clear words, right?
Exactly.
And I remember every night sitting there trying to watch the news. Because I didn't really understand what they were talking. And back in those days, there were no captions. So whatever they say,
you have to make the best of it.
Grasp it. Yes, and I remember the most frustrating thing to watch was the sitcom, because I would not understand what people are saying, and then I would hear laughter. You know,
you had to go by body movements and laughter and so on and so forth. I want to jump real quick here, Emily, because I could have you on for an hour. There's so much stuff, but tell us about the book a little bit and your business. Give us a little insight on your book and.
A couple of years ago, I decided that I want to share my story to inspire people. And it's not just to inspire people to know that they could do better. It's to inspire people to action. So I wrote my first book. It's called From Refugee to Renaissance Woman. And that's a story of how I came here back in the 80s and what I've done to propel myself, to improve myself. And to create social impact, given my degree. And then I got into high-performance coaching, which I want to help people be the best version of themselves. I want to help business owners and entrepreneurs maximize their potential so they can streamline their business, increase their profits, and then they win back time from work. And they can spend that time with their family, their children, and pursue their passion. And so I'm still practicing dentistry, but I carve out the time to do high-performance coaching.
I've been to several of your speaking engagements, and it's very motivational, and you show the videos, and it's very inspiring. And now, as far as your business and what is going on, and fill us in on what you're going to be doing in the future and so on and so forth.
Yes, so I have been speaking on platforms to spread my message, to help people understand that they could be whatever they want if they have strategies in place, if they have good habits in place. So I actually have live events of myself teaching and then other experts coming in to share their story. My next coming event is in July. It's going to be July 15 and 16 in Costa Mesa, mm-hmm. California. Yeah,
oh,
it's going to
we'll be
a 2 days event. One is going to be on high performance, and the second day is going to be on business marketing. And I know Eric is coming to support me. Easy Way
TV
is coming, so I'm really thrilled about that. And then, you know, for the rest of the year, I have several speaking engagements, some of them international, like in Cancun. And
now, I'd like to go on some of the international ones with you, Emily. That would be interesting. We got make sure you get some videos. Make sure you get some when you go overseas that you get some shots. Tell the listeners how we can get a hold of you and, you know, the name of your book again and your website.
Yes. So people can go to my website is DrEmilyLetran.com. That's DrEmilyLetran.com. They can see my books on there. They can just click and buy the books. They can go to my Facebook page. That would probably be easiest. Emily Letran, the coaching, and they can see the event page on there for to sign up for my event in Costa Mesa. And they can also, I actually have a gift for your listeners. They can go to exceptionalleveragecoaching.com.
Okay.
So exceptionalleverage.com. .com/ebook. exceptionalleverage.com/ebook. And they can download my ebook, which tell my story and also some business strategies that I use to have my business for the past 20 plus years.
All right. And Emily, you're with us, and have you enjoyed your Easy Way experience?
Oh, it's been great because it's been easy.
There you
I
go.
Think yes, I think with Eric it's usually a text or a Facebook message, and I can ask him to support me in a certain way, and he's been very, very supportive. We've talked about how we can connect each other to other influencers so we can grow together. And I think that's so important because, there are a lot of people out there doing whatever they do, whether it's media, social media, coaching or whatever, and they just want to stand on their own. They just want to have their own little empire, whatever you want. But what I see is creating social impact is your capital for the future. And you just can't create that much impact all by yourself, right? So
well said, Emily.
Yeah, for me, it's always been about leverage. Actually my company is called Exceptional Leverage Inc. And
I got
that name from my mentor, Sharon Lecter. But the thing is, why do things yourself? I mean, why do everything yourself? There's a certain part of your business where you have to be the one delivering. But other than that, get a team. And I don't mean
a team
like employees, The team, I'm talking about a team of experts. You can have somebody, like I would have somebody like Eric just do all the PR for me. And,
there you go.
And as long as I'm delivering what is good, then he will be comfortable promoting me, right? Yeah.
Well, Emily,
so I'm talking about that kind of a team.
Thank you so much for coming on. And you are Miss Inspiration to everybody. And we would like to have you back again. And we'll be seeing you in Costa Mesa. Until then, thank you again. And I wish you the best in all your trips and travels.
Thank you so much, Jim. And I hope you're doing great with your show. I know you are, but I still wish you the very best, and I will see you soon also.
Thank you. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
And we'll be talking to you again. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So Dr. Emily Letran talking about inspirational, guys. It's an amazing lady. And it's time for Carmelita's Corner. Yes. Thank you. Dr. Emily Letran. And we have Carmelita's Corner coming up.
Like the water from the sky, you put out my fire.
You are about to experience Carmelita's Corner. Carmelita's song, Rosebud, made it to the top 40s with the godfather of soul, James Brown. She's the founder of the Rose Breast Cancer Society. Now here's your host, Carmelita Pittman.
Good morning, everybody. All right, now that's what I'm talking about. Anyway, I'm so happy to be here, and I wish everybody a happy Memorial Day. And I have a very special guest this morning. Her name is Sharon Doyle. Welcome, Sharon.
And good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy
good morning.
Good morning.
It looks like we had a little bit of breaking up there on the intro, but anyway, it's good to have you on, and I'm so happy to have you on Carmelita's Corner today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and happy Memorial Day to all your listeners this morning.
Yes, Sharon, you know, you and I have become very good friends, and we actually met at an event that was honoring Fuller Gordy, as a matter of fact, who's part of the Gordy legacy. And we met actually, you know, we're doing a reverse today because you interviewed me, and now I'm interviewing you.
Yes, I had doing some work for the Gordy family with their Strike Fest that they do annually. And they had asked me to come in and do the interviews of all the celebrities that attended. And for me, because it was, you know, most of the work that I do has to do with charity. So I said absolutely that I would come in and be part of that. And yes, and that's where we met. So and now the roles have switched here for us.
Yeah, well, I love it. I mean, you know, you are such an inspiration, Sharon. I mean, I was reading your bio, and you have done just a little bit about everything. And can you tell us something about your background?
Well, as a general rule, most of my family are entrepreneurs. You know, I was raised in an environment that, you know, my parents taught us all to think outside the box and to go out in the world and do the things that really we were passionate about. So, you know, I went out to be a consultant and to help many businesses across the United States with their business processes and putting systems in place for many, many years. And along with that, one of the things that I was very passionate about is helping a variety of different charities. So I'd worked in helping, you know, different charities grow their businesses and whatnot for many years. And then, you know, moved out to California a couple of years ago and have remained in Southern California for the last, 20 years or so now. And
that's wonderful.
Currently
And where are you from, Sharon?
Originally from Minnesota.
I have a friend from there, and she was telling me about the ice castles that they build when they have big events.
Yeah, my dad was actually one of the individuals that was on the board for the St. Paul Winter Carnival, and those ice castles, believe it or not, are, you know, 4 or 5-story ice castles. So they were quite the undertaking, not only from just the construction, but the engineering part of it. And as a young girl, I went with my father, you know, from the age of 5 on up to help him as he started building those ice castles. So for me, I got to see, you know, something that was created that was, I mean, world renowned, and see the starting point of that, you know. And he would lay the building blocks as a crane operator, and I would go along with this little slush bucket and fill in the corners and making sure that there were no holes between the different blocks of ice that he laid.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, looking at your bio also again, I mentioned that you're a Renaissance woman, but you also are, in addition to being a celebrity journalist, writer, public relations agent, you're also an actress, a producer, and an environmentalist and the CEO of Love Records. Can you tell us something about Love Records?
Well, there was, you know, many years ago, you know, my passion, I've had passions for a variety of different things, but one of my passions have always been about saving the environment. And that is one of my platforms that I go out and speak about, is how we can all go out and be loving and kind to Mother Earth. So a few years back, I was in Sedona, and I received, you know, more of a spiritual message that I needed to do something more about protecting the environment. And that's when I came out of Sedona creating Love Records, the Love Records. It really was to get artists, musicians, writing music to be more aware of Mother Earth. And believe it or not, this, you know, something that I thought when I started it was just to get people talking about sustainability became a worldwide phenomena. I mean, many people across the globe, in China and Norway and Dubai, and countries that I never thought would be possible, started writing music about the environment.
Oh, that's wonderful, Sharon. And I also wanted to ask you more about some of your platforms, because you were Mrs. Diversity in a beauty pageant. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Yes, I'm the reigning 2017 Miss Diversity. And most beauty queens have a platform that they go out and they support. It's some kind of, you know, awareness that they'd like to bring, or it's a charity that they tie to. And for me, just having one platform just didn't feel right for me. So I decided to have four platforms, which are all issues that are really issues that need a lot of attention brought to them. And so the first platform really starts out for me is more of a personal issue, was the anti-bullying. As a young girl, I was bullied quite a lot to the point where there were times that I thought that I would take my own life because of the bullying. So I felt that that is something that really needs to be addressed because of the alarming rates of children committing suicide across this country. So I've partnered up with some gentlemen who created an awareness about bullying, and the event's called Smash Global. And that's September 28th, which is at the Taglia Center. And it's people from the mixed martial arts boxing arena that go in and have this very high-level fighting that goes on. But all the money gets donated to bullying. And they bring in some very large celebrities, and they honor different people in that genre. I mean, last year they honored Steven Seagal. The year before that was Dennis Rodman. So there's a variety of different celebrities that show up for that.
You
and
know
so
that Lady Gaga is very much into that. Have you approached her?
No, but I would like to approach her.
Yeah, and I also have another celebrity friend, too. Her name is Mary Lynn Ross, who's very much into that, and she's also connected to Lady Gaga. I mean, they're doing something in association, I think, through Lady Gaga's mom. I'm not sure about that exactly, but I do know she told me that she's involved, you know, in the anti-bullying movement, and I think you two should get together. So I'll make sure that we get that connection going on.
Yeah, and I think the next connection for me, for my platform, is the animals. And this, I think, is the one that really, really tugs at my heart because, you know, animals don't have a voice. And a few years back, I was at an event that was created in Hollywood. It was called No to Dog Meat. And it was prior to going to that I learned that in the United States, which is very shocking to me, that the illegal meat trade has gotten to be $10 billion, not million, $10 billion. And I wasn't sure what that all meant. So I started doing investigations to find out that people's dogs and cats across America were being stolen for the illegal meat trade in the United States. And those animals were being tortured alive because it creates some kind of secretion that happens, and it creates the meat to be more tender for the people that consume the dog. And they oftentimes skin these animals alive. And when I found that out, I decided that that was something that I had to really put a lot of time and effort into bringing awareness to this issue and how do we stop that kind of behavior happening in the United States. And recently, you know, right after that event, I learned that in 44 states in the U.S., it is legal to consume a dog or a cat. So that means someone could steal your dog or your cat and they could legally consume that animal and there's nothing that that homeowner, that owner could do about that. Nothing. And
that's
to me, that seems
yeah, that's
barbaric.
Just really amazing. And I very what you're telling us is very eye-opening also. And before we leave the subject of bullying, you probably would be interested to know that the founder of this network, Easy Way Network, was bullied growing up and founded Stop Tour. I think that you two have something you need to share in common. And he has a program called Easy Way Cares that supports causes like that and by raising awareness all over the world by like-minded influencers. And you obviously are an influencer.
Thank you, yes. And so I think those are areas, you know, that I'm very passionate about. And so there is a legislation that's happening to get, you know, a bill passed so that it makes it illegal for individuals to consume dog and cat in across America and hopefully stop some of this trade that's happening even right underneath our feet.
Yes, and before we move on, because I've got an eye on the clock, we've got so much to say in such a short time, but can you tell us about redefining beauty?
Redefining beauty is something that I look at, and I look at the young girls across America and the messages that the you know beauty industry sends out to these young women about being bullied. I mean, it's not so much being bullied, but it's about the message that we send these young girls about, you know, their complex, you know, is not, you know, what is not pretty enough and their hair is not, you know, beautiful enough and, you know, their height, you know, they have to be taller, or they have to be thinner. And it's all these negative messages that they're getting. And they're always trying to do something and to make themselves more beautiful. And I think that message really needs to stop about what beauty really means so that we don't see this rise of these young girls committing suicide because they don't think they're beautiful enough. Because beauty is really at any shape and size. It's about what comes inside of that individual, not so much on the outside.
Absolutely.
And so
And it comes in many different shapes and sizes, and it starts with loving yourself. I mean, a lot
it
of people
does.
Do not love themselves, and they compare themselves with what else is going on around them, and you know, it's not a question of somebody being necessarily physically somebody else. It's a question of being able to act in a beautiful way, doing beautiful things to help make the planet a more beautiful place for all of us because we're really here to serve one another. And it does affect women, as you say, because we're sort of bullied in a way to want to be a certain height, to be a certain shape and a certain weight and so forth, because we're bombarded all the time with these messages in the magazines and on the television. And, you know, people are looking at these beautiful young women and they want to aspire to look like them. But, you know, the Dove commercials, if you've noticed, and I don't know if I'm permitted to promote Dove, but they do recognize that women are beautiful in many shapes and forms and colors. And we're beginning to appreciate, at least we should appreciate, the beauty of all the ladies around the world and in their different varieties. It's just like flowers. You don't have just one color or just one flower. They come in many different varieties, and it's a beautiful thing that helps make the world beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate to be part of two pageants and be judging two pageants recently, and both for very different reasons. One, which was Women of Achievement, which really focused in more about the achievements that these young ladies made in their life to get to this level. And the other had to do with California Plus America, so that there is a pageant system for those girls who are not the perfect size six. I mean, you know, the average female across America is a size 14. But yet, from Hollywood standards, if you are above a size six, you are considered plus size.
I know, no. And it's so ridiculous because it's not even real. And you know what? Those magazines that have these beautiful women in them, they're not even real, because a lot of people don't know that they're photoshopped and, you know, they're enhanced with all of the trickery, you know, that the computer can do. And so it's not even really real, you know, necessarily. And by the way, speaking of judging, I had the pleasure of sitting next to you, Miss Lady. We judged a beauty pageant together just last month, April the 30th. And it was so
yeah.
much fun. And
you
we
know,
had, yeah, I'm sorry, you go ahead.
It was really, really a lot of fun to sit next to you and to judge that competition. But I think for me, most importantly, is to know that you're going out and changing the lives of a few girls. And not only just the ones that won, but also the girls that participated in that. Because, you know, their lives will dramatically change because it focuses them to work on themselves and what that means for them.
Yes, well, listen, they were such beautiful teenage girls, too, by the way. We judged the Miss Teen pageant, and that was also an achievement because the girls exhibited so many exciting and accomplished talents. I mean, at such a young age, many of those young ladies were just really amazing. One of them has said she's already going to go on to Broadway to continue with her aspirations to be a successful tap dancer, and I think she'll be up there with all the rest of them because she started at the age of five. And don't you remember her? She was just exceptional.
Yes. Yeah. For a young lady, I don't doubt that young lady is going to be on Broadway, and she's going to be, you know, part of the Rockettes or something, you know, because I was sitting back thinking, you know, these young girls, very young girls, are so accomplished academically,
but also
have these talents that are just, I mean, I was blown away by the talent.
Well, listen,
really,
Sharon, we're going to bring you back on at another time, and I want to thank you again for being our guest today on the Easy Way Broadcasting Network on Carmelita's Corner, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Thank you, Carmelita. And talking about interesting people, I've met so many interesting people through Carmelita. I was at a dinner, and sitting on one side of me, there was Judy Garland's son, and on the other side was Lucille Ball's TV son. And these are all people I met through going to Carmelita's event. And Carmelita had mentioned about the bullying. Eric was never really bullied, per se, until the internet situation. And the way that goes is, if you have a restaurant, great references for 50 years, and they have to fire somebody in the back room that's maybe washing dishes or something for smoking pot, they can go back and post all the stuff. And Eric never had a negative thing on him until he had to let somebody go that was not somebody we want to work with, you know, the way they would post negative things about people. So we wouldn't work with these people. What they do when they see they can no longer work with us, they go out and they say bad things, and they post negative things. And it's all done from anonymous things, and that's the way this internet stuff goes. I see a lot of A-list people and even their parents saying, you know, my son or daughter's a great person, never does anything wrong, and yet they have these haters. But that's the way it is. Where there's light, there's going to be darkness, and the jealousy and envy comes along with it. So anyway, we've got just real quick, I'm going to just for the day today, you know, the Memorial Day, if I can get this out, help the American wars, just real quick, guys. Okay, so I'm going to hit you with some of the wars we've been in, where men and women have sacrificed. The War of 1812, the Indian War, the Mexican War, the Civil War. These are American wars. The Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, Desert Shield, Desert Storm in the Middle East, and the Global War on Terror. The battle deaths, 651,031. And this is what we're saying, a thank you and a memorial today for our veterans. And guys, don't forget, RadioBoomersTV.com. Okay, RadioBoomersTV.com, how you can listen to our show. EasyWayTube.com, and how, talking about a beneficial situation for your business or whatever you're trying to get out there, text 55678 to EasyWay, or text EasyWay to 55678. And this is the new age today. This is the new technology, and we're looking forward to having Aretha back on. Aretha was busy this morning. And guys, have a good Memorial Day, and keep the veterans in your prayers that have passed on, that have sacrificed for us. And until then, we're going to sign off from the Radio Boomer Show here, guys. I mean, it doesn't mean you're a baby boomer. It doesn't mean you're retired. It doesn't mean you got to take two tries to get up off the couch, as we say sometimes. That's the way you know you're a baby boomer. No, it doesn't have to be that way. You can be in great shape. Look at these, some of these people that are jumping out of planes, and the lady that's in her 90s, she's still doing the parallel bars and all that. Use these people as examples. Even if you retire, you don't want to sit around. That's not good. Don't sit around. Keep busy. And we want to thank the all the guests today and the listeners. Thanks to Carmelita and her guests and Dr. Emily Latran. Thanks for coming on, because these are very busy people, and we appreciate them coming on our show. So till then, Wraith will be to next week at EasyWayTube.com. Remember to text 55678 to EasyWay. RadioBoomersTV.com. So, guys, we're signing out. Till then, have a good, safe week. And till then, be safe.
Hi, I'm Charles D. Watkins of HavanaWatches.com. Our watches are the highest quality for a great price. HavanaWatches.com offers a range of models, including chronographs, mechanical, silicone plastic, and in tungsten steel. HavanaWatches.com provides stylish features. Our top-to-bottom one-year warranty is one of the best in the industry. All of our models come to you in custom-designed wooden gift boxes. We have both Swiss and international design models. HavanaWatches.com. Fine watches exclusively for you.
Thank you for listening to Radio Boomers Live with your hosts, Aretha Gray, star Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and EZ's dad, Jim Zulli. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Radio Boomers Live. Radio Boomers Live is brought to you by the Easy Way Broadcasting Network. That's the letter E, the letter Z, Broadcasting Network.